Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
My title today is God Said, and the text will be found in Genesis 1. Just as one preacher said, I want to preach the gospel as if it was the first time those listening were hearing the gospel. I want to make sure it is simple and plain. The truth of God, the gospel, certainly has some deep doctrine, but the gospel is simple. We can certainly go into doctrine and learn from that, and we should learn doctrine. But we can learn doctrine and miss Christ. The gospel is Jesus Christ. We should try to keep it simple as the gospel is simple. There are certainly hard sayings in Scripture, but the gospel really is quite simple. There is no need to use words of man's wisdom to try to convince someone of the truth. Just tell the truth simply as it is declared in Scripture. If all you get are words of man's wisdom, you are getting nothing. You must have His Word, that is God's Word proclaimed. So then it is not man's words at all, but God's. But it is also must come in the power of the Holy Ghost. Not some kind of epileptic fit. I'm not making fun of epileptic fits, because those are real. It is those fake situations where someone acts as if the Spirit of God is upon them. That is not how God works. What I'm talking about is where the Spirit of God comes to you when the Word is proclaimed and seals that to your heart, or confirms that truth to your heart, renewing your mind. So if what God says is important, and it is, let's start at the beginning. Turn with me to, if you would, to Genesis 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. We read where it all started. It all started with God. It says, In the beginning. God, being the only one that existed, had to create if there was anything to be, anything other than Him that would be. So it says He created the heavens and the earth. We begin to read the following words. We can see these in this scripture. And God said. We then read after each of these, it says something like this. And it was so. And let me give you an example of that in verse 3. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. Again in verse 9. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. You can see that several other times through that passage. So what God says is so. We also read in Scripture that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God in 2 Timothy 3:16. So when you read the Scripture, you are reading, just as we have read here in Genesis 1, what God has said. We also read that when He said something, it was so. So then when you read Scripture, any part of the Bible, you can count on it being so, because God said it. So let's go through what God has said in Scripture, and I will go through this in the following points. What has God said about His will and purpose? Who has God said He is? What has God said about man? What has God said about salvation? So first, God's will and purpose. And first of all, let me try to give a definition of will and purpose as it concerns God's will and His purpose. Will, this is God's choice or what God wants. Purpose, this is God going about accomplishing His will. There could be better definitions, but I hope this helps to think about it when thinking about God's will and purpose. I want to add this. You do not have one without the other. You will not have God's will without having His purpose. You will not have His purpose without having His will. What God wills, He purposes to bring it to pass. Even though in our eyes it may not seem that what we are seeing happening around us is His will. Let me give you a scriptural example of what I mean. It is also in Genesis, Genesis 50. Genesis 50. Genesis 50 and verses 18 and 19. 19 and 20, sorry. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Man may think he will do what he wants, but all things and people are in his sovereign control. What you might think against someone or even God, if he is pleased for it to be unto good, then it will be unto good. In fact, all things work together for good to them that love him, them who are the called according to what? His purpose. So here are some of the things that God testifies to us in his word that he wills. He willed to put enmity between Satan's seed and the seed of the woman, which is Christ, Genesis 3:15. He willed to establish a covenant with some people, Genesis 17:7. He willed to redeem some people from their bondage, Exodus 6:6. He willed to put a division between his people and everyone else, Exodus 8:23. He willed to pass over some, but not without blood, Exodus 12:13. He willed to smite the enemy, every single one, Exodus 12:13. He willed to rain down bread from heaven, Exodus 16:14 and John 6:51. He willed to show his goodness to some, in Romans 9, which also means he willed to have mercy on whom he willed to have mercy, and he willed to be gracious to whom he willed to be gracious. He willed to hide some in the cleft of the rock, Exodus 33:12. He willed to give his law, and he willed for it to be kept perfectly, Exodus 24:12. He willed not to clear the guilty, meaning he will not just sweep sin under the rug, Exodus 34:7. He willed to glorify himself, Isaiah 42:8. He willed to be with his people, 1 Chronicles 28:20. He willed to not forsake his people, Hebrews 13:5. He willed not to fail his people, 1 Chronicles 28:20. He wills to quicken whom he will, John 5:21. He willed that all those who were given to Christ will not be lost, John 6:39. These are just a few of the things in Scripture where God has said he has willed to choose something or to do something. So based on his will, what or how God has purposed to what? Based on his will, what or how has God purposed to carry out his will? We read in Ephesians 1:11, if you want to turn there, Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The working of all things is God's purpose. Everything that happens, God purposed it, in other words. If it happens or it does not happen, it was God that purposed that it to be so. But we read in Ephesians 3 and verses 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. First of all, we see that his purpose is eternal, just as his will is eternal. God does not change, and so his will and purpose do not change. But all his purpose goes through Christ or in Christ. God Almighty, the Father, loves the Son, and it is in the Son that all things are purposed. So what was purposed in Christ? God purposed to choose a people in Christ. In Romans 9, verses 11 through 13. Romans 9, verses 11 through 13. We read, For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So he has a purpose which is according to election. That is a purpose according to him choosing, because it says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. There are some who have said when God says he hated Esau, that it just means he loved them less. This is nothing but a lie from Satan himself. God is not imperfect. When he says something, when he does something, he does it perfectly. He is not on the middle of the fence. So just as we all know what love and hate is, so is it exactly what God means here. He loved fully and completely Jacob. He hated fully and completely Esau. Psalm 139 says, Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I agreed with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. But thank God, he purposed to love some, else none would be loved of God. God has also purposed to show his power in bringing down some men to destruction, just to show his power. And what else? So that his name might be declared everywhere. That's what it says in Romans 9:17. He also purposed to save and call us. Not just any mere call, but by a holy calling, a set apart calling. And it has nothing to do with our works, but only according to his purpose and grace, and only in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is the will and purpose of God that matters. Man's will and purpose will work only in God's will and purpose as he sees fit. In other words, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord, it says in Proverbs 16 and 33. Scripture cannot be more plain than this. I want to read a couple of passages that tells us this very thing, that God is sovereign and does as he pleases. So if you would, turn with me to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46 and verses 8 through 13. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and so there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. It is God that works everything after the counsel of his own will. Everything going on around you today, that is God at work. I mean anything and everything, even if it is evil as some might think. Everything that is done for his people is unto their good, but God does this to bring near his righteousness, as we just read. Turn with me to Isaiah 14, Isaiah 14, verses 24 through 27. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will bring the Assyrians in my land. I will break the Assyrians in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? God is in control, and what was mentioned here is for the whole earth, it says, meaning this is how God works towards all, and not just the Assyrians. Who does God say he is? All of this is so because of who God is. God is high above man. He is past finding out. His ways are not just better, but his ways are higher than our ways. But not only that, God is so much higher than us. You hear people talking about the man upstairs. And that's just a stupid saying. If all you do is go upstairs, you have not went high enough. He is so high we cannot attain unto it. Psalm 139:6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. You are not going to find out God by searching him out. You cannot reach those heights. It must be given you to know God. That is given by God. God is creator of heaven and earth and all them in them that is. He created it. So what does he say about man? Who is man? So what is man? I'm not talking about my opinion of man. There are a lot of times I'm a pushover, so my opinion does not matter. I have grandkids that can make me do just about anything they want. I am movable, but God is not. So let's hear what he says. God is no pushover. He is a thrice holy God who is perfect, and he is perfect according to his standards and not man's. So what I think about him is of no consequence. He is creator of heaven and earth. What are you going to say to him? The answer is nothing. But I am interested in what he says about man. What are man's thoughts? In Genesis 6 and verse 5, and this is just before the flood, it says the imaginations of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Some might say, well, this was before the flood, and after the flood, it was different. Well, if you will, turn with me to Genesis 8. Genesis 8. Genesis 8 and verse 21. Genesis 8 and verse 21. We read, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and this is after the flood, after they've got out of the ark. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. It was the purpose of God to create man. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. If he had not willed and purposed that, then there would be no mankind. But God purposed that man fall in the garden. He says to Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God said it, so it is so. Adam died that day. That 24-hour period, Adam died before God. In what he did, he plunged all mankind into darkness, that is death, because of his one transgression. What does God say in Romans 5:12? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So man, as he is born in Adam, is dead to God. God says of all his living creatures that he created, they will bring forth of their own kind. So as you are born in Adam, you are born dead to God. And Romans 5:12 confirms that. What is the result of this dead state? It means that all our faculties come forth from this death, this darkness. That means our will is dead and our heart is dead. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful. How much? Above all things. Not only that, it is desperately wicked. It is bent on being wicked. When this flesh commits those wicked deeds, it is filled and satisfied within. It is so wicked there is no one that knows how wicked it is. No man born of Adam can know it. God help me that I do not find out just how wicked my heart is. But he who created us knows it because he says so. He has told us how wicked we are. So where does that leave us? If we are left there, we are left with no hope. Unless God has purposed something different for us. If God wills something different for us. What God says about salvation. God be thanked. He willed and purposed something different for some. We already know that God purposed to glorify himself. We already know that this will be done in the face of Jesus Christ, the Lord, based on what we've already looked at in which God has said. God has purposed to save some. So now I want to look at the purpose of God in salvation. We must first see that if God had not purposed to save some, then none would be saved. All would be lost. There is no doubt about that based on Scripture. A heart that deceives us would never tell us we are in need of salvation. It tells us we are okay. We have made our decision for God. What we need to look at is God's will and God's purpose for us individually. I cannot look into this for you, and you cannot look into this for me. We need God looking into this for us and carrying out his purpose for us. We have already seen from Scripture that all things are in Christ and for Christ. So let's look at that a little further. It is God who is pleased to glorify himself, and he would do this in his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. He said it from the very beginning that enmity would be put between the seed of Satan and the seed of woman. The seed of woman is Jesus Christ. Now we know that the woman does not have a seed. That comes from the man. So what seed are we talking about? That seed which is of the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin, born under the law. It was a man-child that was born. That man-child was God Almighty, that one who created all things, the one who is high above us all. This same one came down to this earth as a man. It was he, God himself, who was going to be the redemption of his people. That God whom it tells us in Scripture, there shall no man see God and live. We are talking about a holy, just, perfect one who had no reason to do this because of any need he had. God does not need anything. He says in Psalms 50:12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Why? Because he created the world. He does not need anything from the world. This sovereign almighty God came into this world to take the place of some, him being the offended one, and they being the ones who have done the offending. That daysman that Job speaks about, that one who would and was made sin for his people. He was made the very thing that I am by nature. He was made the very thing he tells us he cannot look upon. Why? So that you, might be made the righteousness of God in him if you are chosen in him. It is all because of what he has done that makes him to his people wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. For those he loves, this has been done. This is in Scripture, is in the past tense. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, in conclusion, turn with me on over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Based on what God said, all we have went through in Scripture is true. If you believe God, then you believe what God has said. He has said what his will and purpose is. He has told us who he is. He has told us who we are. He has told us who salvation is. God does not change. What his will and purpose was, his will and purpose is. And his will and purpose will always be. He was, is, and will be who he said he is. We are who God says we are. Either we are only evil continually, or we are righteous in Christ Jesus the Lord. Salvation is a person. God has told us who salvation is. It is the Lord himself in the face of Jesus Christ. Can you bow down to him as Lord? Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God has willed and purposed to bring all things to pass for the good of his people. He has done this for his honor and glory and accomplished this in Jesus Christ the Lord. If we believe God, we believe that salvation is accomplished. Why? Because God said. It is so, whether you believe it or not. Can you bow down to what God said? I want to remind you that at 12 noon on WVVACW, you can hear one of our Sunday morning messages. Tune in. We start here at 10:30, just past Little Beaver State Park. Come hear Christ and him crucified proclaimed.